whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati.
Okay, so Johnny is starting Cincinnati, off the episode by W-K-R-P. Serenading us. Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. What's going on?
Beautiful, beautiful rendition. So if you guys are wondering why Johnny's singing to us right now,
it's because I got kind of tired of sitting here.
Well, that's true. But I'm making him wear headphones for the first time ever.
Oh, God.
And it's been...
Well, the first time ever with you.
Well,
in, my presence,
in the room,
yeah.
And it's been pretty funny. So bear with us. Anyway, hey, welcome to the show, Johnny.
We'll close out the episode with the whole song.
With the whole song.
I'll pull the lyrics up and I'll just do the whole song.
I don't think we have the rights to do the whole song, like the whole fair use thing.
Do you want me to change it to like another WKRZ in Cincinnati?
I don't know if that's like parody, but I don't know. So we can try.
Parody,
yeah.
I think.
Anyway, hey, we're going to talk about comic books this week.
What? And my voice may go in and out.
A show
I've been sick for the last week.
About comic books. Talking about comic books. Wow.
Are we a show about comic books?
Not really.
We're
kind of a show about just...
Dead.
Yeah, well, we're going to be a show about Game of Thrones here in 90 days.
Oh,
or not even
God.
90 days. I think it's like 42 days.
I guess I need to watch last season.
You do. Anyway. Yeah. So, hey, how you doing? It's been
right.
A slow, kind of a slowish week.
Yeah.
From what we've been used to lately.
Well, like I said, I've been sick. So it's been a crappy week for me. So, because I got sick. I think I got sick the day after we recorded it last week. So.
I blame the Wifetron and the Kid Bop.
Well, I think
for
I did it
sick.
On purpose. Though,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's what you said the other day on the phone.
Yeah.
So
that way I won't get sick in the springtime.
Let's hope. Fingers crossed. Johnny stays healthy.
Yeah. Either that or I'm going to kill spring.
I don't think we're going to have a spring. Anyway, we're going to go right into summer. It's going to be crazy.
Let's talk about the weather and not talk about comics.
This is Weather Watch from the Infamous Podcast. Anyway, I have a buddy, Chris, who's a storm chaser.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he could come on and, like, tell you stuff about the weather that you never knew.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Could,
and
we,
like,
do a, could we get him on? But do a review of Twister and then talk about real weather.
That would be
crap.
Awesome.
I think maybe
so
that's an idea.
A good idea.
That's so an idea for an episode.
He
put
just
it on
moved
the board.
He just moved to Indianapolis, but we can phone him in.
We could just drive
yeah,
up
we,
there.
You know what we should do is like do it with him and storm chase with him and review Twister while we're storm chasing.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be fun. Anyway,
would
all right.
Be considered meta.
I think so, by definition.
What is it, finger of God or whatever?
It's the finger of God, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Extreme! Angel always yells at me because I do not like Twister at all.
Not at all.
No, and it's like, it's a huge cast.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's been a while since I watched it, but yeah, just Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt.
Philip
I mean.
Seymour Hoffman
yeah.
And, you know, some of those guys. But, all right, so we're already, like, way off topic.
Not really, no. You're allowed to do that for the
first few
minutes.
All right, so this week we want to open up talking about the big announcement from the Walking Dead comic. Is
well,
there? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Tell where these came from. These announcements. First of all, you've got it up on your screen.
It came from Comics Pro.
Yeah, which is a retailer.
I actually wrote down what it was.
Oh, well, go ahead.
And I will read.
Make it so. Number one.
Comics Pro is the only trade organization dedicated to the progress of direct market comic book retailers, allowing us to move forward together. The goals of Comic Pro are for direct market retailers to speak with a single strong voice on important industry issues, providing educational and mentoring opportunities to current and future retailers, and offering opportunities for retailers to reduce some of their fixed costs that we all incur.
Okay.
Oh, whoa. What happened?
You went into commercial mode.
Anyway, so Comics Pro happened last week, or this past week, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this big event where retailers and publishers...
Sorry.
No problem. Where retailers and publishers all get together to really talk about the industry, what's affecting what... DC made some pretty big announcements.
I think... Marvel might have been the only one that didn't make any announcements.
No, and the CEO of Image made a huge splash, which we'll talk about
for
sure. All right, so one of the first things that came out of this was from Image.
Hold on, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead for a minute.
Well,
but it's not the TV show.
Right,
it's
sorry,
the
yeah.
comic.
I got lost there for a second. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. We aren't going to talk about the comic. So they announced they're going to do Negan's origin in the new Image magazine. Did I read that right?
Yeah, it's Image Plus is what it's called.
Okay.
They did Image Plus back in the 90s, like right when they first came out of the gate.
Okay.
And it was like a magazine that was supposed to be, it was in the format of a comic book size, but it was like a kind of a previews type magazine.
Now, are they going to stop doing previews like Marvel?
No.
Are they going to use Image Plus as their own?
Image Plus is going to be like their, not a previews book, like they'll still be inside of the previews.
Okay, from Diamond.
Catalog.
Right.
Yeah, the Diamond catalog, I guess you could say. But they're doing this as an autonomous thing that will, like, you know, stuff coming in the future, plus the Negan origin story.
So that's what we were going to talk about. In the first issue of this, they're going to give the Negan origin story.
Oh, it's not the first issue.
It's not the first one?
That's the first 12 issues.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
I misread that.
It's, let me see, 4 pages in each issue that's going to be the origin.
Okay.
Over the period of the year. The way this magazine is going to have 2 ways you can get it. If you buy the Diamond preview catalog,
mm-hmm.
you will get it for free.
Okay.
Like you do the Marvel previews.
Right.
If you choose not to do that, you can buy it for $1.99.
Which is great.
Which is fine. Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things where it's, you know, if you are just a Walking Dead fan and you don't pick up the Diamond's catalog, you can just do it that way. You can just buy it and read that and put it as part of your Walking Dead collection.
Yeah, I think offering over the first, you know, 12 issues, like you said, is a great way to get people used to buying it as
right.
well. Adding it to their pull list and then always forgetting to take it off.
Yeah.
So much like Michonne had her origin, I think it was in Playboy.
And then they reprinted it. I mean,
yeah, and they did. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see,
and I'm sure that
what they do and how it goes.
A print that'll be the whole story in one book next year, right. You know.
Yeah, it says it's going to be a 64-page magazine to debut alongside Diamond.
It's a good idea for, like, you know, that kind of marketing of the, you know, you can get everything online.
Yeah.
You can see everything online. But, like, for me, I don't go search out everything.
Right.
So this is one of those things where, you know, like I've said before, I like to pick up Image books just because there's always something different.
Right.
And this will be where it'll give you an idea of something that might be coming out in 3 months that hasn't even been solicited yet.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's where they're going to go with this thing. So, you know, plus it'll probably have some splash page art and all that type of stuff. Like like Image is known to do. So
it'll be, I'm looking forward to checking it out.
I mean, the first 12 issues obviously will be published because they won't cut it off.
Right.
You know, and, you know, next year maybe we'll get like Invincible, a 12-part Invincible story or something.
They could do like a Adam Eve thing for the time where he was gone and the baby grew up. So just real quick, for people who don't know, just give a quick overview of what previews is and how maybe it could help them either get into comics themselves or kind of maybe understand how to get their kids into comics. Well,
previews is a catalog that's published monthly. It comes out near the end of the month, I guess, beginning end of the month. And it's mainly for people who want to see what's coming and to tell their retailer what to order for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into your retailer, if you're just getting into comic books, or you've been in comic books for a while and you don't know, if you go into your retailer and ask them to look at the Diamond catalog, they should have one behind their counter. If they don't, your retailer may be doing something wrong. and they sell them. I mean, you can purchase them and take it home and go through it and pick out like stuff you might want to pick up and that type of stuff. I say it's a good resource to use to make a file if you're getting into comic books.
Yep.
It's a good resource to see what trade paperbacks and graphic novels are coming out, because a lot of that doesn't get publicized.
Nope, not as much as it should.
Right. It's a good resource. Like, this not only does it publicize the comic books, it also publicizes the magazines, the trading cards, the apparel.
Just the collectible
pretty
type
much
stuff,
any
yeah.
collectible stuff. Like, there's literally a section called collectibles.
Right.
There's a section called apparel. So, I mean, if it's one of those things where, you know, you want to just check out what's coming out and, you know, you don't want to go to Hot Topic. You want to get it at your store to support your local retailer.
Right.
You can order it directly.
Yeah. And I mean, we both have. So, yeah.
It's one of those things where it is definitely a good resource to order stuff and support your local comic shop.
Yeah. I mean, our local comic, shop, the Queen City Comics, Jeff typically orders me anything Nightwing just because he knows
They have a website. Obviously, we'll put it in the show notes. The Diamonds.
Yeah. I think it's just previews.com or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah, I'll add it.
But we'll add it to the show notes, and you can check it out on there. There's a lot of the same information, but it's not as easy to access as the catalog is. And I mean, the catalog, it's literally laid out where you start at the beginning, and their premier publishers are the first part of the book, and then all the other publishers are in there after the premier publisher, and then it goes from there.
Right.
So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't checked it out. Even if you just want to look at it at your retailer, they should happily pull it out and let you take a glance at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what I do, is I'll sit there and I'll thumb through it. And if I see there's a lot of things I'm going to be interested in, then I buy it.
Right.
Otherwise, I'll just go up to the counter and be like, hey,
Batman Beyond. I pick it up just because I trade don't, or whatever. Make it to the store enough.
Well, and you typically have your emissary go to the store for you anyway.
It's one of those things where it gives me time to sit at home, because if you really want to check out stuff that's going through it, you could spend a good 2 hours looking through this thing.
Oh yeah.
I've found stuff that I will collect, or I have collected books and toys,
right,
that otherwise I wouldn't have found.
I find I usually start because it's what, like 4 to 6 months out?
It's 2 months out?
2 months. Oh, you're right. It is two.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's two months.
So, like, I normally get, maybe the last 3 or 4 of the year.
Yeah.
Just so I know what's coming at the end of the year, and then I know what's new.
Oh, yeah, because the end of the year is packed full of stuff.
Especially for toys and things like that. So, yeah. It's definitely a really cool thing. I think Image Plus magazine, much like Marvel's preview, is a great supplement for it.
Definitely.
So.
I think it'll be a good supplement. Since I pick it up, I'll be like, cool. Mm-hmm. Another book to add to the batch of books from them.
Now, how long do you keep yours?
I usually keep 6 months
back.
So if there's something that I missed, the order number's in there. So I can go to Jeff and say,
I hear you.
Or if I see something at a convention, and I'll go back through there and be like, oh, I missed that. Like, I have, and this is totally off the subject, I have a Bat Gremlin on order that was in there a couple months ago.
Cool.
Toys take a little longer.
They
to
do
come
take
out
a little
comic
while.
Books. But yeah, it's definitely a good resource for stuff. And then I just shred them up and take out the art that is good, and then I recycle the rest of it.
Because
it's recyclable paper.
It is.
So I usually
just chug it, like, when I'm done. Yeah. Like, as soon as I'm done, like, that. So if I go on Wednesday, whenever that next trash day is, it's in the trash. Yeah. So, all right.
If you want to just give me $4 from now on instead of buying that book.
Well, I don't normally buy it, though. That's the thing. I normally just get it at the end of the year.
I have to give you shit, though. So.
All right, so moving on. Another kind of big announcements from IDW.
And this one I pointed out to you just
you
because
did.
I knew you were going to be like, ooh.
Yeah, I kind of fanboyed out about it. I actually had tweeted about it on my own account and the Infamous account before you had even said anything. But Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez are teaming back up for Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah.
If you don't know, Joe Hill, Stephen King's son.
Yeah.
And Gabriel Rodriguez are the co-creators of one of my all-time favorite books, Lock and Key.
Which I still never have read.
You know what, though? That's fair, because I've never read Fables or Preacher.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's just
and
one
of
those things.
And if you were going to read either one for you, I'd say Preacher would be the one.
Yeah. I've every time I've been in lately, I've been thumbing through that first volume, and I just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. Which is kind of funny considering how violent and how much gunplay is in Preacher.
Oh yeah.
So it is reuniting to revive the horror TV series Tales from the Dark Side is an all new comic book series.
Did you watch this?
I didn't. See, like, I remember it, but I don't remember watching it.
When they did, there was a movie. There was a Tales from the Dark Side.
I remember
movie.
The movie. Yeah. It was
George Romero.
Yeah, George Romero.
Stephen King had a little bit of play in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the horror greats worked on this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, go on IMBD and just look it up. You'll see. And it's in the 80s, there was a lot of cool series that were just every episode was a different story. Twilight Zone type stuff.
Creepshow, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was a movie. But...
Well, Alfred Hitchcock and Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and all that. It was like one of those things where there was kind of a revival.
War of the Worlds.
In the 80s where, it was
even in the 90s. Yeah. But, I think, from like 84 through like 97 really was like kind
of. But there
of
was like, the anthology series wasn't one of those things where it's like, it was a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 80s, it was like, it seemed like it had a small revival. And I think it ended with Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
It was like probably the last one. But I mean, I remember.
I think it ended when Tales from the Crypt did that movie, Bordello of Blood with Dennis Miller. And that was kind of like the death nail.
But like there was Tales from the Dark Side, there was Monsters, there was I can't remember. There was one with a hitchhiker guy where he would
be the Hitcher?
It wasn't the Hitcher, but it was because like,
there was a Hitcher
was
TV
opening,
series.
The opening of the series. Oh, he was like the Rod
Serling.
Yeah,
he was on the I remember that now.
Yeah.
So real quick for the comic though, Gabriel Rodriguez says that it's a heartfelt tribute to Romero, as well as Alan Moore, Bernie Wrightson, Neil Gaiman, and
like I said, the greats.
Yeah, I mean, really, and he says everyone that took their hands to lead them on their journey, like it's a tribute to the human heart through parallel dimensions, and gates into impossible new worlds.
I mean, the best line I read that Joe said was that it's a little meta because it takes place in a world where the original series aired.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that's cool. Be interesting to see where he goes with that. Maybe he'll write his dad into the book.
That would be funny.
That would be kind of cool.
So what's your favorite Stephen King cameo into like a TV show or something like that?
I don't remember like any of them that really stood out. I think there was one where he was a bus driver. That kind of stands out, but I think that was like
Sons of Anarchy when he was the fixer.
Yeah.
And he was helping Kim Coates and Katie Sagal's characters, Tig and God, I can't remember her name now, where he's helping them get rid of the body out at her dad's house. That was awesome because he rolls up and he's got the, the cut and everything. It's like,
Stephen King.
So. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm a big fan of this team as collaborators and
I'll pick this
storytelling.
Up just because of the horror version. And I've read Joe Hill's anthology book, Science Fiction Stories from the 20th Century or something like that. And some of the stories in there are just like, holy moly,
So he did another kind of short run series called The Cape.
Okay.
And then there was a follow-up to that called The Cape 1968, I believe is what it was.
68 or 69.
Yeah. And the first one is this kid, when he's little, has this magical cape that lets him fly.
Okay.
And he has an accident where he falls and breaks his legs and, he's, in traction and things like that. And his mom takes the cape away and tells him that she burns it.
Okay.
And he has spent the rest of his life knowing what it feels like to fly. Not being able to do it.
Wow.
And he just is a loser. Like, he's a horrible person. He's, barely graduated high school. His brother goes on to be a doctor and all this stuff. And, he finds the cape.
Oh,
and he has all this bent up rage and aggression towards his mom and his brother and his girlfriend, who he finds out is sleeping with his brother.
Okay.
And just kind of goes on a rampage. I mean, it's very horror thriller type, type of a book.
That one sounds more like I would.
Yeah, you would like it.
Then
on the flip side of that, the Cape 1968 or 9, whatever number it is.
Yeah.
It's the origin of the cape.
Okay.
Which it's from his dad in Vietnam when he gets taken prisoner as a POW. And you learn that it's not really the cape, that has the power. It's okay. His patch. That's the only thing that gets sent back to the boys.
Okay.
And you learn about how it was
imbued
with the magical power and everything.
I'll definitely have to pick those up then.
I don't remember who the artist is in the books. But we'll find it and post it.
Yeah.
But both books are beautiful.
So it was the same artist on both of them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. From the cape, there's this one. It's this huge splash page where he's in midair holding a chainsaw in the path of a 747.
Okay.
And for the longest time, that was the background of my computer.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyway, So Tales from the Dark Side, really, really looking forward to that. Yeah,
I figured you would be quite enthused just because of who the team was.
Yeah,
on it.
And I mean, I've said it, this is episode 32. I've said it, probably 32 times. I follow writers. I follow creative teams that I like. Even if it's, I'm not the biggest horror fan in this room.
Right.
But I'll totally check this out because of them, and, it'll end up on my pull list.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So let's get into Comic Pro. And a couple of the big things that happened out of this.
Yeah.
The first was the CEO, I guess, of Image or the publisher.
Do you want to do that first or the DC stuff?
Let's finish with the DC stuff. Because the statements that he made really is something that DC should take to heart.
Pretty much everybody should take to heart.
So Marvel Comics publisher Eric Stevenson had a chance to address the retailers at the Comics Pro meeting, and you highlighted a few things. So why don't you lead with what you took away from it?
It's a long speech. Like I had it printed off, and I was like, oh my god, this is 6 pages long. And so I was just flipping through it, and there's a few things he says that I was like, I took to heart, and I liked that he said that creatively right now is the golden age of comics.
Yeah,
totally agree with him.
I agree too.
I mean,
storytelling wise, it's some of the best stories we've ever had.
It's the idea that these companies, all of them, have the opportunity to tell awesome stories because they have awesome writers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of even people that we know,
right,
that are trying to get into comics, mm-hmm, that have good ideas that just need a guiding hand.
Yeah. Or
a guiding hand that cares.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's the thing is we've talked about it on here a lot that, mm-hmm, there's a lot of companies out there that just seem like they're just putting stuff out to put it out.
Right.
And don't care about what they're putting out.
Right.
And that's the thing. I've sent this to you. And he addresses
this.
I'm like, dude, it's like you're hitting it on the nail on the head. And he said, he was pretty much telling retailers, if you're ordering more copies of a comic, just get a variant, stop doing it.
Right.
And I totally agree with that.
Which is funny to hear you say.
They're glutting the market.
Yeah. With the Valiant books, they do a lot of variants.
They do a lot of variants.
And you get them all.
Yeah.
Or as many as you can, if not all.
But it's the thing where I'm doing it because I enjoy Valiant and that. But it's one of those things where if I had the choice of just getting two instead of four, I would say hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think you need that many variants.
Right.
And I understand. Here's the kind of variants I like. I like a variant where you have the original cover,
mm-hmm,
and a variant where you have an artist that, wouldn't work on that book on a normal basis, that you had to pay a little bit more money to come in.
Someone come in and just as the cover artist.
A cover.
Yeah.
And then I like the blank covers. Because I think the blank covers are a genius idea.
Because you can take it to a convention and you can have anyone there draw on it.
Draw
which is
a character from that book or from any other book.
It was like the one where Jason Aaron was at that con we went to. And I kept joking I was going to go buy one of the blank covers and ask him to write me a story on the cover.
And he would have probably wrote a short story.
I'm sure he would have. And it would have been cool. But we didn't want to wait in that line. But I get it. For me, definitely the regular cover. I like the Scotty Young covers just because I like his art style. And then with the Star Wars books, they've done the action figure variant covers.
Yeah.
Where those are always, if I have the choice, that's the one I get.
But the problem is that, you know, at this point, these companies are setting up retailers to fail, pretty much.
Well, like the Dark Knight 3 is a really good example. Oh, man. There was the 1 in 5,000 yeah. variant and things like that, where, yes, they're going to take, the retailer will take and be able to turn that around.
Right.
But they've got 5,000.
They're going to a dollar.
That, yeah. And it devalues the yeah. book as a whole. Even that variant, it'll devalue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. I'm like, and that's the thing is, like, I'm buying variants from Valiant with no idea or no intention of these things.
You're not
like
a, you're not being a, speculative.
Yeah,
about
I'm
it.
Not
you're
speculating.
Just, you're a completionist. I'm,
yeah,
you've,
pretty much.
You've been a fan of the Valiant line for a yeah. long time. No, I'm right there with you. And when I look at a book, like if there's variants, I'll always pick sure. out the cover I like the best.
And you know, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna do variety, you do it where if I'm gonna do 5 variant covers, you publish the same amount of every single variant. And give the people the choice to buy what they want.
Don't. I understand what you're saying, yeah. and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. But if you do that, doesn't that make the variants less special?
No, because I look at it this way. If you have a regular artist that does the regular mm-hmm. covers of it, you have the blank cover.
Mm-hmm.
You have the, let's say, George Perez.
Okay.
George Perez will use as the example.
Yeah. Or everybody, Neil Adams right now, because Neil Adams yeah. did a bunch of the
well,
DC
yeah.
books.
Well,
so.
But everybody loves yeah. George Perez.
Sure.
You know, or 90% of the comic book community loves George Perez.
Because he's a fantastic human yeah. being.
So you have the George Perez cover. Then you have the Chromium cover.
Okay.
And then you have the fold-out cover. We're just making up stuff here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have those 5 covers.
Okay.
So somebody's going to come in and want all 5 covers.
Sure.
But
someone named Johnny.
No. We're not. It's not a Valiant book.
Okay. Okay.
It's a Superman book.
Okay, great.
We'll go with the Superman book because, you know, I don't love Superman that much. So it's a Superman book that has a regular cover, a blank cover, a George Perez cover, a Chrome cover, and a fold-out cover.
Okay.
Which one are you picking?
Probably the Perez cover out of that group.
Okay.
But
they're all printed equally the same amount.
Sure.
So your comic book store got 5 of each cover in.
Okay.
So you pick the George Perez cover. Somebody else is going to come in and want that regular cover because mm-hmm. they just want the regular book. Somebody's going to want the blank cover.
Right.
Somebody's going to want the Chrome cover. And somebody's going to want the fold-out cover.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be the guy that's going to come in and buy all five of them.
Yeah. No, I get it. I understand.
And if you do that as an equal amount, you're going to be making more money because you're going to print the X amount of books anyways. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to sell out of that fold-out cover or that Chromium cover, and they're going to call and they're going to be like, hey, I need to do a reorder of this book.
Of this particular cover because
and
I have
you know what?
A,
in my head, that goes cha-ching.
Yeah.
Because there's more money you're making, and you're still doing a Chrome cover that somebody wants, but there's going to be that completionist that's going to want all 5 of them, too.
So, like, DC's...
I'll be buying the George Perez cover, by the way.
DC's done some variants over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
They did, like, the lenticular covers, which... I think you got all of. No, you didn't get all 52.
Sorry, I was taking a drink there.
I didn't mean to ask you a question as you were drinking, but
yeah.
But you got the lenticular
covers.
You got the lenticular of the books you got, right?
Not
the future end. The ones
the
before
villains.
That. The second year of New
the
52.
Villains. Yeah, it was
or
the villain.
PU52 as I like to call it.
It was the villain ones. And no, I didn't get all the lenticulars.
No,
I
no, but
get...
for the books you got the lenticulars,
no.
right?
No, even then I didn't.
See, I ended up... And I
Green
ended
Lantern
up...
and The Flash,
yeah.
I got both the lenticular and the regular because I'm a completionist of those books. And then other ones like Justice League I was buying at the time, just got the regular ones.
See, I ended up with the lenticulars. Yeah, Jeff put all the lenticulars in mine for some reason.
Yeah.
I didn't ask, but
so you have all the lenticulars?
Of the ones I was collecting at the time, which I think I was still getting like 10, or maybe even 15.
Right, and
DC
it was like, unless I went into the store, which I was going into the store more often at that time, unless the cover impressed me somehow, I was not getting it.
But I remember, like, Deathstroke was a big one that people wanted. And, like, I had that one. And I ended up selling it back.
Oh, okay.
And, like, just getting store
credit.
Yeah. And, like, hey, you know,
I'll give this back
and, like, you know, give me, like, you know, this is worth, like, 3 or 4 books.
Right.
You know. So there was that.
I mean, I'm sitting on books that I probably should either trade or sell.
Yeah.
And that. But it's one of those things where, for me, it's more... hunting them down and digging them out.
Yeah, but like DC did the Lego figure covers, yeah, which, you know, I definitely
and that's
got
what
those.
I'm saying. It's like, that's fine.
But they've had this like Harley Quinn thing going on where she was on the cover of every book,
right?
Kind of like Marvel did with Deadpool on the cover of every book.
They've done the 75th anniversaries of characters.
So
and, you know,
I mean, when it's like that, where it's like one or two, that's fine.
Right.
I have zero problem with them putting two versions of a cover out, especially if it's to celebrate a character's anniversary. Yep. My big problem is when they're saying you have to buy this X amount of
you
this
have to buy
book,
1,000 books to get this George Perez sketch.
But it's not always the same book. They're saying, like, you know, you have to buy 200% more of whatever this poor selling title is.
You know what? You know what I call that?
Yeah,
I call that strong arming. I call that
racketeering.
Yeah, I call that what those guys would have dealt with, those comic book guys would have dealt with, like in the 40s, where there was probably some gangster guy that was coming in and strong arming them.
Yeah.
And now the comic book companies have become the strong armers. So,
I just find it really, really interesting to see all of that.
The least of them that I feel like, you know, I don't feel like Valiant is telling these retailers, you have to do this.
Well,
they did
I think
the
Valiant
only thing they
is
did
a
it
special
with the,
case.
The Unity.
Yeah.
The Unity foil like thing that, you know, at one of our local retailers, they have it on the wall for $100, but I don't want to pay $100 for it.
No. But I think with the Valiant though, Valiant is not a mainstream line.
Right.
It's not even a series of books for
DC
everyone. Like I get Unity and I get is it Rye? Is that how you say
it? Yeah,
Rye. Like those are the two books I like from Valiant.
Right.
I'll check out Exo Man of War every once in a while. I did the Armor Hunter series. Like,
sure.
I did that crossover because it was cool. But for the most part, most people, like, we say Valiant, people don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
So,
some people do, but most people
I say most.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's interesting. For me, the whole debate is the publishers, if they do what's best for the retailers, because the retailers are going to do what's best for their customers.
Right, yeah.
The publishers will do better.
Right.
Instead of, like you said, strong arming a retailer into saying, hey, you have to buy this many covers of this book to get this special book. And, you know, I mean, we've repeated ourselves 3 times about this now, but it's that big of an issue that we need to worry about.
It definitely is. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things where some of these retailers shut down their stores.
Yeah.
Because they can't survive.
I mean, we've gone to a couple different stores over the last few days or last few weeks, and I mean, we've talked to the people at the stores just because we're interested in this topic, and you know, they've all, you know, said I'm not buying more than I can anymore or for the time being.
Right.
So, you know, I think the days I don't think we're ever going to see a book from this era go for $1 million on the market. You know,
well, you're talking like if you go if
so like the books from the
20s
and
30s. If we had a time machine and we jumped ahead into the 75 years from now,
right?
75 years would be the time to do it because that's around the time that Superman first appeared,
right.
Batman first appeared. There's one book that I could see being that book.
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead number one. Yeah. The Walking Dead number one would be the only one where I'd say, you know, the increase in value would still be there. But the demand wouldn't be there. I mean, the demand for Action Comics number one and the demand for Detective Comics number one will always be there.
Yeah.
And they will always have reprintings of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to have an original in your hand would be one of those things where... And we've seen it recently because we've seen Avengers number 4, which was the first reappearance of Captain America.
Right.
And I'm standing there slobbering on the countertop. Because
and it
I'm
was,
like,
what, $350? Is that what it was?
He said was like $350.
Like, and I look at that, and I'm not a big Avengers... Like, I'm not a big team book fan in general, other than the X-Men and the Titans. But, like, I see that, and I'm like, that's a reasonable price for that book, you know?
I mean, it wasn't like in mint condition.
No,
at all,
and it wasn't
I mean,
in the plastic hard case or anything.
I had Avengers number one for years, and eventually I traded it for something else. But I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where you do, as a collector, you sit there and look at your collection and go, "Do I really need Avengers number one in my collection?" And I'm like, at that point, no, I didn't.
Well, I mean, you did the same thing with Walking Dead, the first, 10?
I sold the first 12.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made some good money. It was vacation money.
Yeah.
At the time, it's like, you know, it was before the TV show was ever thought of. But I'm like, if I had that book now, I'd be making triple what I made off of 12 books.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so
just for the one.
Just for the one.
Yeah.
But it was it's one of those things where you don't know.
I think the important
That's
takeaway.
That's the speculation part.
And I think the important takeaway from this, and I'm glad you said that, is like comics isn't really a speculative market anymore.
Not at all.
And because they overprint so many books and then they go back for second and third and fifth printings in some case, you know.
If you're selling out of it
because
of that reason and you're going back and reprinting it, awesome.
Yeah.
You know, if you're...
Because that makes the first printing...
If you've made your print run that low that you have to do a second print, I say kudos to you because you're smart marketing right there. Because you're not losing money.
Right.
You're making money by going back to print.
But then, like books like Batgirl, right? Where Batgirl went from, like, top 25 book to now it's barely in the top 100 for sales.
Right.
But, like, for the longest time, they were doing first, second, third, fourth printings.
Yeah.
Because... They weren't.
Was it because it was selling out?
No, I don't think they were printing that much to go with, so they kind of had to. So it gave the impression that, hey, this book is selling out. But, I mean, the quality of that book is so bad.
Right.
You know, and you know, obviously, like, I have an axe to grind with Batgirl because Brian Q. Miller's run on Batgirl previous to
you
the
and
New
I
52
both love that run.
Is one of my all-time favorite runs of any comic book.
I would love to see him back on a book. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, he's doing his own, like, creator-owned stuff.
Right.
And, you know,
but
so,
I haven't seen any of it. So,
no. Like, he did a Kickstarter for some really cool things.
Right.
But I don't know whatever
I
came
know,
of
Rich,
it.
I can't.
So.
His Kickstarters are cool, but, you know.
I hear you.
I could throw a dollar at you. I got a dollar.
You don't
with a fishing pole.
You don't have $75 to throw for a digital version of a
Most
book.
Most of the time, I don't. No.
No.
Sorry.
But yeah, so you know, it's one of those things where so let's just segue then into the announcements from DC.
Well, I want to point out
one more thing.
He said, and I like this one, and I'm at fault as much as anybody else. He said that comic book store owners should never be too busy to read comics. He says, we're all busy, you know, every day, everybody's busy and that, but it's part of the job.
It is.
Of the publisher, of the retailer to read their books. And he said, you know, he reads some of his books, some of the books that are published from his company. And he said, and sometimes there's stuff in there where he goes, why did we even publish this?
Yeah.
Because it looked good on the script.
Yeah,
it
looked
good
on paper, but it was just poorly
yeah.
executed. Yeah.
Yeah, but he said, you know, the comic book stores should be reading their books. And I think it's because they should be able to tell the customer, yeah, that's probably something that you would like, or that's not something. Or, you know, like Jeff's done, put stuff in people's files before because I think they might like it.
Yeah, I ended up with the Sinestro book in my file.
Yeah.
And I read the first issue, and then I went back in, and I was like, no more of that, please.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, it's one of those things where it's like,
but
you,
I appreciate
you might
that.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate that. And you know, I'm happy when he does that because it's like, oh, hey, I'm going to try this new book. But yeah, okay, so...
So you want to go?
Let's talk about
go on our
let's
DC
talk about
train.
Rebirth, DC Rebirth. A lot of news came out about it. We know a lot more than we did when we talked about this.
We know
2 weeks
stuff,
ago.
But we don't know stuff,
right?
Because they announced all the books, but they didn't announce any creative teams. And at least one artist has announced that he's working on a book.
Okay, so for Rebirth, what we know. In June is when these are going to start shipping, and we're going to get Rebirth specials. So this will be character name Rebirth number one. We have Aquaman Rebirth number one, Batman, The Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns, Superman, Titans, and Wonder Woman.
Right.
Okay. And so those are the kickoff titles, like zero issues, if you will.
Right.
Which I don't know why they didn't just call them... Either just call it Rebirth and not put a number on it.
Right, yeah. But, which I think there is a Rebirth book coming out, too, from what people
But
have
I'm
said
saying they
the
could have called it Aquaman Rebirth and just left it at that. Because, okay, so then also shipping in June, the new number ones. And these
for the
are
same titles.
For the same titles. These books are going to ship twice monthly.
The
at
only
least
one that
that's
doesn't have a regular title in there is Titans.
Right. Well, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, shipping twice monthly, we have Aquaman, Batman, The Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then the new issues are Action Comics and Detective Comics. Action and Detective are going back to their original numbering. So it'll be Action Comics number 957, and it'll be Detective Comics 934.
Another company did that at one point.
Marvel did that. They do around the big milestones. I was being sarcastic. Oh, sorry. I thought you were sarcasm. I thought you were having a brain fart.
No, I was going to say another company did that. All right. I should have. Sorry. Another company did that at one point.
Oh, bother. Yeah. Okay, so these books are going to ship twice a month. Now, Marvel's been
lowering the price points
back to $2.99.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they weren't going to cross that line years ago. So,
but I'm sorry, but if you do the math, and let's just round it up to $3 twice a month, that's $6, which is more than what I'm paying now for one book a month of maybe $4 to $5.
Right.
Rounding up, you know, of course.
Now, are these still going to be 28-page books?
They haven't said anything. That's the thing, is the only information we've got is these titles.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything about anything.
So, I mean, except for
Jeff Johns' video where this is a legacy and we want the legacy to carry on. And, you know, I literally wrote down, is this really about a legacy or is it where the current hierarchy of DC Comics is scrambling to save their current careers? Because that's what it feels like.
It does. So
this doesn't feel, I mean, you know, I'm sorry. I love DC.
I'm right there with you.
I love DC.
It's my, like, home company.
You know, and, you know, I get tired of saying the same things ever again. And literally, it goes back to what Eric Stevenson says. Yeah. I mean, there's a part in his speech, and I'm going to read it, because it's one of those things where, you know, somebody should be listening at this point. Not even if they're not listening to our podcast, they should be listening to other people that are saying it.
Just before you read that, for DC, just be better.
Yeah.
Be better. Yeah. Like, don't be what you were. Don't be what you are. Be better.
Right. It's literally, you can have no greater ally than someone willing to tell you you're doing something wrong. Someone willing to say no. When everyone else is saying yes, wisdom be damned. Honesty is the only true currency, and right now, it's something that this industry needs more than ever. Because if we can't be honest with each other, with ourselves, about where we are and where we are going, then the mistakes of the past will bear down on us with a tonnage so staggering we may never rise again. That's telling you, if you keep doing the same crap, you're going to eventually fail.
Yeah. I have the lowest number of books that I get per week than I've had in maybe 10 years.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, honestly.
And we're going to go with my books where I have the highest amount of Image books I've ever bought.
Yeah, I've never got this many Marvel books in my life.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel, I'm getting a few books that, you know, I never really got Marvel before.
Mm-hmm.
And Image, I'm, you know, getting books where I'm like, you know, this is kind of scary.
Yeah. I have a bunch of Image books. I have a bunch of Vertigo books.
Yeah. Which
I almost never get Vertigo books.
Right.
I have the Archie books.
Yeah.
What else? Stuff from Boom, stuff from Dynamite.
Right, yeah. Well, the
Voltron
things
from the Ashes is one of my favorite stories going on right now.
Right. But it's one of those things where those companies are, you know, daring to do what, you know, the main companies aren't willing to do. And I understand it's a money game, but you know what? We watch CW.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't watch it live, but I watch it live.
Mm-hmm.
I DVR live.
I watch it on Hulu the next day.
Right.
You know,
there are commercial breaks where it says, dare to defy.
Well, dare to defy. On Hulu, when you go to any CW show, that's the first like little interstitial that you see.
And it's one of those things where, guess what? DC Comics, follow what your sister thing is saying. Dare to defy. Dare to defy reason. Don't do the same books over and over again.
Right.
If you're going to do these characters, show me something new. Show me something. Show me someone with some imagination. Doing something where it's like, oh, that's cool. You know, because we've talked about Elseworlds.
Yeah.
Elseworlds is one of those things where it's like, if you did one book that was just called Elseworlds, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
And it would have to be defy what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What, you know, Superman. Change my thought of Superman.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the Elseworlds that you got for me.
Speeding Bullets. Where Superman's Batman.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, amazing
story. Where Kal-El is Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And it's just
and
one
I
of those things
it,
where
and
I don't need it to be that much of a shift, but I need a little bit
more. Well, and you know what? I'll give you something that was a good dare to defy.
Yeah.
Is the PU-52 Aquaman number 1 through 12.
Yeah.
With Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis. Right.
Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
Yeah. But I'm going to stick with Aquaman for a second. Sure. Because he's a hard character to get right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. They got that character so right by making him a person.
Like a true king.
Like when he's, well, even before, like even outside of that, when he's on dry land yeah. and he orders fish and chips and someone accuses him of cannibalism.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yes, that is what he would have to deal with.
Yeah.
Thank you for this real moment. Now I believe all the Atlantean stuff and, right. you know, his version of the others and that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, like they've done it. They've shown us glimpses of
right,
this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the before the New 52 in the old DC universe, the Sinestro Corps War.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That redefined the entire line of DC Comics. Well, even not the just Infinite Green Crisis, Lantern.
Where they brought back, you know, yeah. they brought back Superman from Earth 2 and they brought Superboy Prime and, you know, and it was one of those things where, you know, you're when you get people talking about your comics and they're not talking negatively about your comics, they're excited for the next issue. Like, that was a time where I'm like, I want that. I want number 6 of Infinite Crisis.
What about Identity 7. Crisis?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Brad Meltzer book.
That was amazing. Yeah. And that went back and, like, changed the game from, well, yeah,
because
from
you
like,
went back,
you know,
into the
Justice
history
League stuff.
Where,
and,
you know, Brad
just,
Meltzer yeah. has a good pedigree of delving into history.
Right.
And he did it in a fictional universe and made you go, this changes everything. This changes my whole idea of this universe.
Like, I liked that so much. I got the individual issues.
Yeah.
And then I bought the hardcover.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, like, I'll pull that book out once every few months and read it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily do that with Infinite Crisis and definitely not Crisis on Infinite Earths.
And, like, see, I enjoy those
stories, are I enjoy them, like, too, but know, those are books that I read,
yeah.
you know, maybe once every 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
but
it's
there
right
are
there.
Things where you go back to it and you still are like, holy crap, I can't believe they did that.
All right, know? So let's get back to the list. So we've been through June.
Oh, torture me with this list.
Going into July now. These are the new books coming out in July. These are the Rebirth specials.
Right, and one thing, like, they haven't said what the regular monthly books are going to
yeah,
be yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
So...
Okay, so we have Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, Rebirth number 1.
How... So she's getting out of Burnside. I did read that. Yeah. She is getting out of Burnside.
Are they going to re-age her to be, you know, the back same to, age as Dick Grayson?
I guess so.
Okay. Look, I love that costume. I really do. I think
right.
it's cool looking.
She can
and
keep
it would
the
make,
costume.
And it would make
it...
sense for Barbara Gordon, even like the in-continuity right. Barbara Gordon, that that's what she would come up with.
Right.
Okay, so we have Batgirl and the Birds of Prey Rebirth. We have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps Rebirth number 1.
Right.
We have Hellblazer Rebirth number 1, which is not John Constantine.
Right, it's called The Hellblazer.
So, we have Justice League Rebirth. We have Nightwing Rebirth, which is being set up right now currently in Grayson and Batman and Robin Eternal. Red Hood and the Outlaws is coming back.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll be Red Hood and the Outlaws, Arsenal, and Starfire.
I think it's going to be a team book.
Or will it be, yeah.
I think it's going
will,
to be
will
team
we
book.
Have, like, Katana and, like, you know, the right. Like, the dude
like
who,
some of the Suicide Squad that aren't part of
the
Suicide Squad.
The guy
squad.
Who can turn into, like, smoke and that kind of stuff.
Metamorpho?
Metamorpho, thank you.
Oh, you're going more
like
Batman and the
true,
Outsiders.
Like, true Outsiders, yeah. You know? Because, like, that would make sense for Red Hood to lead that team.
Right.
Okay, so, and then the new number ones that we have that are going to ship twice monthly are Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. Justice League number 1 and Nightwing number 1.
And then there's the new number 1 shipping monthly,
which is Batgirl, which I'm not sure how they think they're going to get away with Batgirl and Batgirl and the Birds of Prey.
You know.
The Hellblazer, Red Hood and the Outlaws, the Superman, Super Hyphen Man. So I don't know anything about that. I'm interested
right.
to see. And then Titans number 1, which is the original Titan team. With Dick and Arsenal and
oh okay cool so
I think Starfire is in there. I think Donna Troy is gonna be back.
Oh okay.
So I if I remember reading that correctly,
no Wally West,
no like true Wally West. All right, and then for the fall, and I'm just gonna bust through these real quick. Batman Beyond Rebirth number 1, Blue Beetle, Cyborg, Deathstroke. Where I don't understand how they think a Deathstroke book is gonna sell again after the last two abominations that we've had for him. Earth 2, Suicide Squad, Supergirl, Teen Titans, which is a Teen Titans team led by Damian.
Okay.
which he's only ever, he's had very limited connections with the Teen Titans pre and post New 52.
Right, but it's one of those things where the question is, like, because obviously we don't know if they're resetting anything or anything like that. Will Cassie Sandsmark be on the team? Who knows? Wonder Girl? You know, will
are they going to go with like the Young Justice lineup?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And have that be Teen Titans?
Right.
Okay. And then the last one there is Trinity Rebirth, which I hope to God it's not Pandora and the Question.
I'm willing to bet
stuff.
It's going
to
be
the Phantom Stranger
that we know.
So, you think it'll be Superman, Batman,
and Wonder Woman?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
All right. And then the twice monthly books coming out in the fall are Cyborg. Again, I'm not sure who wants to read that book twice a month. Deathstroke, don't know who wants to read that book twice a month. Harley Quinn, hey DC, Harley Quinn is better in small doses and not all over the place. Justice League of America number one, where I don't, like, that book's going to have to take place outside of continuity or else nothing's going to make sense.
What is it? Justice League of America.
And then Suicide Squad number one. And then the last batch of titles that we have here should be monthly, and we'll have links to all of this on the show notes. Batman Beyond, Blue Beetle, Earth 2, Gotham Academy next semester, which I don't know if you've read any of the Gotham Academy.
I picked up the first two issues and never read them.
I got the first volume. I actually liked it.
Yeah.
So
it looked. I mean, it looked good.
The art is fantastic.
Yeah.
Supergirl number one, Superwoman number one.
Okay.
Super Sons.
Okay.
Not sure what that is. And then Teen Titans and closing it out, Trinity.
Okay.
So all in all, this has me asking more questions. Now, I'll tell you what I'm excited to see here.
Nightwing.
I'm excited for Nightwing, absolutely. I'm excited for Red Hood and the Outlaws, depending on what that book is going to be.
Titans.
I'm excited for Titans. I'm excited for Blue Beetle. Because the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle book.
Jaime.
I'm sorry, Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle book was actually very, very well done.
Okay.
I'll check out Teen Titans with Damian leading the charge.
Yeah.
I'm going to check out the Earth 2 book, and I'm going to check out the Batman Beyond book because Bruce Wayne is coming back in the future.
Okay.
Because he hasn't been in the book for a while.
Okay.
So I'm curious, will it be Terry or will it be Tim Drake?
Hopefully it's Terry.
Because in the...
Right, I know. The
what's it called?
Futures End.
They killed Terry McGinnis.
Right.
He came back in time. I think Mr. Terrific killed him, right?
I think so, yeah.
And then Tim Drake, who had been injured, took up the mantle of Batman Beyond and then went back into the future.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I had so high hopes for Tim Drake at one point because, you know, Chuck Dixon had a lot of good ideas.
Yeah,
for that character.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually I think the idea for Tim Drake was to take him out of being a superhero.
Yeah.
And make him just a person. I mean, I could see down the line some of these characters retiring from their superheroic.
Well, I think that was like identity crisis with killing his dad and things like that.
Yeah.
I'll say this is you know, it's been well documented how big a fan I am of Robin.
Right.
Right. Tim Drake was the absolute best Robin.
Yeah.
Like, Grayson was the first, but he went on to be Nightwing.
Right.
You know, Damian, his story still is to be told.
He's still evolving.
And you know, honestly, of all the characters in really either line of the big two,
yeah,
no character has shown more growth than they've Damian. Let Damian Wayne right. show, which is exciting. But, like, you know, Jason Todd, I voted to kill him. I want my 95 cents back.
Yeah.
Well, he's alive.
Oh, wow.
I voted to kill him. He's alive.
That's Superboy Prime's fault,
yeah.
Not anybody else's.
I need to track down Superboy Prime and get some kryptonite.
He's whining somewhere in a corner.
Somewhere. He's crying in
you know,
some dark corner of the universe.
Why do they keep doing this? Why do they keep changing? That's what would be cool is like to see him come back again.
Yeah.
And be like, why do you keep doing this to this universe? You know?
Look, I tried to ruin your universe before.
But I think if he came back, don't make him a villain, but make him just like
the voice of reason,
anti-hero,
yeah.
But like somebody who's like, you guys don't listen.
What would be interesting is to team him up.
He'd be the guy who would say no.
To team him up with Jason yeah. Todd.
Yeah.
And like, because Jason doesn't want to be back.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about Red Hood is, you know, he was dead.
He'd be dead. Yeah.
And, you know, him coming back raised more concerns with him about his relationship with Batman, between as a Robin and then his relationship with Bruce Wayne as a man. So yeah, I do have some things that I'm gonna check out.
I wrote down a couple questions actually. Yeah,
go ahead.
Where's the Legion of Superheroes?
I don't know.
If this is a legacy, where's the Legion of Superheroes? Where's the Justice Society?
Yeah. Well, I think Justice Society is going to be Earth 2.
Right. And I'm just like, that's just an easy out.
But Justice Society should have their own book. Right. With Legion of Superheroes, that being the other big team I'm a fan of in the DC Universe, if they can't get an amazing... But if they can't get an amazing team, I don't want to see it. The two Legion books that launched with the PU-52.
Yeah.
The Legion Lost one was good because they were stuck in the present. The Legion of Superhero book was this xenophobic mess.
Yeah.
That kind of rehashed the Legion of Superheroes that closed out into Flashpoint.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, but the other thing too is like, what are they going to do about that? Because they've closed off, you know, quote unquote, time travel.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is, if is this going to still be the new 52 universe, or is this going to be some new universe? Sorry, that's a Marvel book, but you know,
we don't know.
Just one of those things where I'm like, you know, if you're going to give us the titles, give us a little bit more information than just the titles, because they're raising more.
Do you think they have the creative teams lined up yet?
Yes.
Okay.
All of them? I think they already did.
Okay.
And I think that's why Scott Snyder's leaving Batman.
Well, he's going to write Detective. We know that.
Yeah. But, I mean, Jim Lee's already been announced as the artist for Suicide Squad.
Right.
At least for a while, until he becomes late and can't get two books out a month.
I mean, like, he can barely get one book out a month.
Right.
What's going to happen with
the two? The other one that I know for sure, because he announced it on his Facebook page, is Phil Jimenez is doing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Which I'm like... You know, tempting, very tempting, because he draws beautiful, beautiful Wonder Woman.
With is it Margaret Finch, David Finch's wife?
I think so.
She's going to be the artist?
Yeah, or the writer.
Or, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, she's going to be the writer, which is cool, you know, because, you know, she's obviously a female, so.
She's a good writer. You know, they announced a few, like, exclusive signings and things like that. So, like, Sam Humphries is now going to be with DC.
What do you want to see him on?
I would love to see him on Nightwing. I think logically for him, Blue Beetle is a good choice. I think Red Hood and the Outlaws is a good choice for him, because he could make so like his run on Star-Lord for the last couple of years has been really good. He could make Jason into a hateful Peter Quill, which would be nice to see. I don't really want to see him on the Green Arrow or on the Green Lantern books. Green Arrow might be a good choice for him.
I hope Geoff Johns actually goes back to one of the Green Lantern books.
I'd like to see Geoff Johns back on The Flash.
Yeah, that'd be cool,
to be honest. You know, I could see Sam Humphries really, you know, like throwing it out there and doing something like completely different.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they got Chuck Dixon to come back and write Nightwing?
I would have to drive to wherever he is and hug him.
Yeah.
Just like find him. Give him a hug and walk away with no explanation given.
Obviously, he would know now, but, you know.
Well, he doesn't listen to this. The other thing is, for Humphreys,
I do listen.
he could do, like, Deathstroke, and I think that would be an interesting take for him. You know, he's got...
What was the other one? Tom King, was it?
Yeah, Tom King is the other one.
Which he's been writing stuff for DC, but he's signed an exclusive deal now, so...
So... Anyway, all right. So let us know what you guys are excited to hear about with this, or what you're excited to see. Are you looking forward to this? Do you dread it? I'm taking the opposite approach that I've had with DC in a long
excited,
time.
I'm more curious about
I'm going things. Into this with a very positive attitude that they've listened to the retailers. They've listened to the fans. They're going to, you know, give us something worth reading.
Hopefully.
That's my hope. I'm not looking at this saying, you know, another reboot, you know.
I'm just more like, what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get more excited when they start announcing creative teams.
Yeah.
And that, because then it'll be, oh, cool, my favorite writer or my favorite artist is doing this book.
Right.
And that, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. I do know.
It would be cool if Phil Jimenez was doing Titans, you know.
Yeah.
Because Phil Jimenez is the offspring of George Perez in a way with it comes to art, because his art is pretty much
very similar.
Yeah. So that's his illegitimate son. He got all the talent too. But yeah, he definitely, like I said, Wonder Woman will look beautiful at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully with her writing it, it'll be a strong story. And that, I think she's a pretty strong writer, so.
Yep.
You know, but just hopefully this is going to turn around some of the negativity that this company's picked up over the last few years.
Yeah, and we'll post a link also to the Geoff Johns video previewing the Rebirth event. It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for all the negativity I give it, that guy does love DC Comics.
He does.
Yeah, I think he just gets hampered down in the politics of the company.
He's great at setting a story in an arc.
And I think if he's the one who's setting up this story and, you know, has everybody under his wing, because he said he's worked with everybody.
Yeah.
And if everybody's working on the same course, set on the same course, and, you know, he's the one who's the captain of the ship, this might be like some awesome stuff.
It very well may be. So, like I said, I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully we'll get some Justice Society announcements. We'll get Legion of Superheroes announcement. We'll find out who the creative teams are.
It is one of those things where, like, I've told you before, and I may have mentioned it on an episode before, you don't have to do monthly or bi-monthly books. You could do quarterlies and still get a good response from
me. The Avatar books from Dark Horse come out, you know, usually in the second half of the year, right? They've all been great.
Right.
And they've continued the story from the cartoon, which we're going to talk about that here in a couple weeks, you know. I'm trying to talk Johnny into doing Avatar The Last Airbender like we did for Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You're hesitant.
Sure. Because I haven't watched it multiple times.
Oh, come on.
But, anyway, you know, I'd say
what you're saying.
Quarterly Legion book would be kind of cool.
You could do it as an oversized issue with, you know, 64 pages.
Yeah, square bound.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and just do, you know.
Make it an event. Make an event out of it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's the whole thing is, and that's another thing. Avoid doing an event. Make every book an event.
Don't avoid the crossovers. Right. The large.
Well, just any event.
Yeah.
Don't do an event.
But when I say make it an event with the quarterly book, I mean, make it like, hey, I look forward to this book coming out
that's
four
what I'm
times
saying.
A year.
Every book that comes out should be an event. You should feel like when you're picking up a comic book, like we've been talking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And we talk about Invincible and The Walking Dead. We read those immediately.
The last DC book I did that to was Brian Q. Miller's Batgirl.
Oh, see?
And I read, of the 24-issue run of that book, I read 21 of them in my car with the meter counting down. Like, you know, am I going to finish this before the meter runs out?
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be for any comic book company.
Yeah.
You know, anybody from the big boys like DC, Marvel, and Image to Boom to Valiant. Like, there should be books that, like, you can't get out of the comic book store without reading it.
Like, Boom had a book, Suburbia.
Yeah, you...
Or Superbia, however you say it, by Grace Randolph, who, you know, I've since kind of soured on a little bit because of her ridiculous Beyond the Trailer show and just kind
of
the weird
the
hate.
Book
but I love the
book.
And, you know, it was one of those ones. It started out as, like, this four-issue miniseries, and it became a 8-issue, like, maxi-type series.
Right.
But it was... complete stories. It was an interesting take. It was like Desperate Housewives meets Justice League.
That's cool. Yeah.
You know, and it was fun. Like one of the Batman Robin type characters.
Yeah,
they were actually gay.
Okay,
but he was married to the woman who like funded the team.
Nice.
You know, so it was like this whole thing where like she knew, and you know, it was just a really good story.
But it is. It's really just one of those things where you should feel enthused when you walk into the store that week that you know that book's coming out. It doesn't have to be every book.
Right.
But I do feel that these the publishers, from the top to the writers, to the artists, from the top executives, down to them, let's make these books event books.
Yeah.
Not we're going to do an event.
Take a look at what Jason Aaron is doing across Star Wars.
Yeah.
And don't just copy it, but, like, emulate it.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean,
it's like Deadpool, did, like the
it's
Deadpool
like the Vader
movie.
Down event. The yeah. Vader Down event was only one book besides the regular books, right. And you were like, "Yeah, I want to read everything."
Yeah. But like the Deadpool movie, guys. All right, I don't know if you saw DC's going to release a rated R Blu-ray.
Yeah.
All right. Either show us the rated R director's cut that you want to show.
Yeah.
And don't water it down to be PG-13.
Right.
Or just tell the best possible story you can at PG-13, and leave it at
this
that.
This movie was already cut PG-13.
Right.
And now they're going to add stuff in to make it a rated R.
Well, they're pulling stuff off the cutting
room. Well, right. Yeah. Right. It's literally the desperation.
They're going to add language.
Right.
You know, there'll be some cursing.
Oh, you mean he's going to say he's the mother effing Batman?
And there'll be... I bet you... $5. In the rated R.
Fair enough.
He's going to say...
I get the $5 if he says mother effing Batman. Yeah.
I don't think they'll go that far, but if he says it, I'll give you $5. I bet they do. So...
And Frank Miller will get a credit.
Mother effing Batman, created by Frank Miller.
Exactly.
All right. So, hey, guys, that's the show this week.
That's the way to end it.
Yeah, right there. I'm the mother.
I'm the mother effing Johnny.
So, yeah,
and this
is
the mother effing Brian.
Hey, just real quick, new books out this week that you should pick up. Make sure you're picking up Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It's one of those bubble books.
I enjoy it.
It's a lot of fun.
And it's one of those books, like I say, it's not something that's normal.
Right.
It's unusual. Mm-hmm. It's
you look off forward
the
to reading
off the
it.
Wall
yeah,
is the way I look at it. You know,
Saga, just... Saga's back, number 34.
That book's terrible. It's just
horrible. Don't yeah. Never Jeez. Mind. Forget that. No, definitely read Saga. It's
hey,
amazing.
Hey, Brian K. Vaughan, come on. You know.
And then I guess the other one is Fight Club 2 is
is that
issue
that's coming
9
to
or
an
whatever?
End, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not meant to be like an always ongoing book, but Fight Club 2 is back out this week. So, just some interesting books to look at. Oh, Ringside.
Yeah.
Which has been fun. I don't know if you've read it
yet. I haven't
had
a chance to read it yet.
It's really good. So, all right.
But I did read, Power Man and Iron Fist that came out last week.
Oh, yeah.
That was really fun.
David F. Walker.
Yeah. So, it was just
speaking of, they cast Iron Fist
yeah,
on Netflix.
I've seen that.
It's the guy that was Loras Tyrell in Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah. Rian, or is it Rian?
I don't remember his name. But,
I'm sorry.
But like, you know, like the he looks like Danny Rand.
He's got shaggy hair and that type of stuff. So.
Anyway, you know. All right.
A shame it wasn't Greg Sipas who plays Michelangelo in that.
Well, and the voice of
Danny
Rand.
He looks like Danny Rand.
He does, yeah. All right. So you want to find information about us, just go to infamouspodcast.com.
That's infamouspodcast.com, not mother effing infamous podcast.
Anyway,
that's another podcast.
That's a different podcast. We have nothing to do.
You can
with
catch
that.
Mother effing Johnny and Mother effing Brian on that podcast.
That's on Earth 2.
Yeah, exactly.
But go to the podcast. You can subscribe to the show. Please do through iTunes. Sign up for our email list. We're going to give away some shirts. We're going to do a fun little contest with it. So make sure you sign up for the email list and look for those emails, newsy type stuff to your inbox. We're going to start making sure we're sharing this stuff with you guys more.
Follow on Twitter. Follow on Instagram.
The new Instagram.
Yeah.
I have a whole thing about Vader Down going on right now on there. Just sharing cool like snippets.
5-star reviews on iTunes.
5-star reviews always help. Write a review.
Follow me on Instagram.
Follow Johnny.
Follow Brian on Instagram.
Follow Brian.
I put up cooler stuff.
Well, mine's all pictures of my Lego guy.
Like I said, I put up cooler stuff.
Well, but it's his adventures of like going
Did I,
through
I don't
the world.
Think I put up the so. One. There's a comic book I got to put up soon
yeah.
that I haven't put up that I found that's very curiosity
okay.
more than anything.
Nice. All right, so that's
just
it
pay attention
for the
to
week.
My Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. Just make sure you're checking us out. You
Look
can
at
find
my
everything.
Mother effing Instagram.
Oh, make sure you follow Katie, our blogger, at Katie Rock on Twitter.
Just don't follow her too closely. She has a smell about her.
I did notice that. I didn't want to say anything, but I noticed it. All right, so that's the show for this week. Everyone have a great week. We'll be back next week.
Everyone have a mother effing great week.
All right, on that note. Bye.